My name is Pam. I'm a psychologist. I want to talk to you about some of the things that the last two guys have been talking about, the no decision decision and the gut feeling and some of those things, and do whatever, because it's just frozen. And so some of the things that are really underneath the hood in a lot of the decisions you make. You know, as a psychologist, we have kind of a bad reputation. A lot of us think, you know, we're just Dr. Phil on TV, but psychology is really, you guys are all psychologists. If you're a designer, if you're a developer, if you're a technologist, a brand strategist, a marketer, you use psychology every day. It's fundamental to everything you do and the decisions that you make. And psychology really makes the difference. If you think about the success of some of these great things like Angry Birds or Conspiracy for Good, and the compared to the Nokia combo phone and gaming system device, right? The difference is rooted in the fundamentals of psychology. We could have saved those guys a bundle of money if they'd talked to a psychologist. So what I want to talk about is brain behavior, the stuff under the hood. I want to show how that links to the theory of optimal engagement, positive psychology theory by a guy named Csikszentmihalyi called Flow. And then I want to show you how the use of story or narrative engulfs both of those things and makes getting those really easy without having to know all the rules. How are we doing? No problem. Okay, so what is engagement? Engagement is psychological commitment. It's a relationship. It's no mistake that we use the word engaged when we're going to get married, right? Because it's people who have made a commitment together. It's what gives experience a broader meaning. That's engagement. I have a friend who just got an iPhone, and I came in the other day, and she's like sitting there staring at it. And she looks up with this big sigh, and she says, "I'd marry it if I could." Right? That's engagement. She's got this relationship with her device, and that's the kind of engagement that's cool. There's the psychologist off the couch. That's the kind of relationship that you want. How do you get that kind of depth of relationship? And you have to start in the brain, because the brain controls motivation and attention. The brain has three parts, and it's because of evolution. We didn't rewire, right? We just layered on new skills. Once you know the way different parts of the brain process experience, then you can figure out how to make them work together so you're going the same way. So the first part of the brain, the oldest part, is the reptilian brain. There's been a lot of brain talk this time, right? In the brainstem, primitive, all it cares about is your survival. Hunger, breathing, the autonomic nervous system, all of that stuff, pain or gain, that's what it cares about. The emotional brain, limbic system, seat of the emotions, that gut feeling. The emotional brain, the reptilian brain, operating completely subconsciously. They do all of this stuff without you knowing about it, and the conscious brain, the new brain, is how you know you're here in this room. Right? It's how you know you're you, and it's how you can plan which party to go to tonight. Right? But all that planning that you're doing, all that thinking, has already been decided by the guys down below. So the trick as a marketer or a developer is to how to get those guys down below on board so that the guy on top is part of the party too. Brain's about the size of a coconut. 70% of it is the neocortex, the new brain. The neocortex does not control 70% of the decision-making. The neocortex is the rider on this massive reptile. That's why it's so important to get them to work together. When you get them to work together, you can get engagement. When you don't, the rider just gets trampled. So how does such a small part of the brain dictate so much of our decision-making? The reason is that part of the brain is the gateway of everything that exists for us, right? It is our reality. All senses come through the gatekeeper of the reptilian brain and the emotional brain. So I want to give you guys a chance to go where no man has gone before. Right? I want you to consciously step into your reptilian brain. So there you are on the savanna. You can close your eyes if you want. You're out there. You're the reptile. Feel the reptile, right? You're monitoring the horizon, looking for danger, smelling the wind. Do you smell food? Do you smell a tiger, right? You're a little thirsty because it's hot and dusty out there. Wait, peripheral vision. You see a couple of guys. Wait, one guy has a spreadsheet. The other guy has a beer, a nice cold beer, right? What's your gut reaction? It's the spreadsheet, right? No, I mean, you can feel that. You can feel that visceral difference, even though it doesn't matter that it's in this scenario that the spreadsheet of fear, but you feel it. You feel the difference. So that's the old brain. The new brain, it operates on, if you'll excuse the expression, more cerebral level. Its job is to take the stuff that makes it through the old brain and the emotional brain and make sense out of it. There's only one way to do that, and that's to turn it in to a narrative sequence. We call those stories. Memories and experiences are linear and causal. They have a beginning and an end. They have a bunch of cool stuff all connected to them. Senses, you know, touch, taste, smell, all of that stuff connected. But if there's no story, there's no continuity, and it doesn't make sense, and we can't remember it. So everything that's living down in your brain in a memory is a story. So now you have... So we've got, it's the sex cell. Yes, sex cells, because the old brain processes information 250 times faster than the new brain. So the old brain has already decided which phone you're going to buy before you've decided. It's the no decision decision that Peter was just talking about. The old brain, however, has decided because it's a decision that makes you feel socially dominant, sexy. But when you make the decision with your new brain, I mean, that's kind of crass, right? To buy something because it makes you feel sexy, unless they're jeans. So you make up a new story. It's really about screen resolution, right? And usability. That's why I like this phone. But the decision was already made. So what do? You have this brain that's speaking these vastly different languages. You've got the sensory, visceral old brain. And you've got the logical, self-aware, identity-driven new brain. Our second tightrope of the session. You're having to balance these two disparate languages. So what's a tool to do that? So I want to talk a little bit more about psychology again, and about positive psychology in particular. Positive psychology, the researcher I mentioned, Csikszentmihalyi, has developed a theory of optimal engagement. We call it flow. Any of you who are storytellers or gamers will recognize the description of flow. In the zone, you're totally absorbed, you feel in control, you have deep enjoyment. All of those things, that's what you want your people to feel like when they're playing your game, using your interface, buying your product. All of those things, right? That's what we're looking for to create. So this creates a tension between challenge on the far axis and skill. This balance between anxiety and boredom that allows us to maintain a state of flow. That when you're developing things, needs to be iterative. So you're looking to increase skills, decrease challenge, and keep people in that zone. The brain maps exactly to this, right? This is the same tension between the brain the new brain and the old brain to stay in that zone. So you can put the brain into flow using things that speak to the old brain. Images, metaphors, senses. You can put the brain into flow using things that speak to the new brain if you're going for this balance by focusing on identity, the increase in confidence. But what's the real key, the easiest way, is to use story. Now, it might seem like a little bit of a disconnect to go to story after we're talking about brains in flow, and we've been hearing a lot about the importance of story. But it's a real secret weapon when you're trying to get people engaged at multiple levels to get the whole brain on board, because the brain is hardwired to record things in narrative. That's why storytelling has been so powerful for centuries. It's how we pass down information and social norms. Right? Stories engage the whole brain because they are both instinctual and abstract. They are universal enough so that they leave room for us to step in. So it isn't your story or their story, it's our story. There's room for each player in it. The other thing that's really powerful about story for what you all do is that stories, because they're at that high level, have a very strong, coherent anchor. That allows you to let the media be fluid around a very strong center. If you have a good story, then you can go out over time. You can go transmedia, and that core story will carry your message with coherence that you need to build brand identity and experience. So the end result is what we call the theory of transportation, which is that immersion into media that creates the link between product and experience and identity and emotion. So at the end of the journey, let me just recap by saying engagement starts in the brain. The brain speaks three languages. Start with the reptilian brain, because that's where the decision-making process starts. Brain behaviors map to flow, which is a nice way of translating that science into something that you can actually get your arms around and design for, challenge and skill. And that story is a secret weapon because it speaks to all parts of the brain and it organically adjusts to provide a flow experience. So you design for people, right? Psychology is the science of people, of human behavior and of experience. So the psychology matters. Flow experiences can be designed by balancing old and new brains and then wrapping it around a story. Then you can design the next, you know, Pinterest, Farmville, or World Without Oil and really have people become not just consumers, but fans, brand advocates, and really devotees of what you're doing. Thank you.